It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello there, Eric.
Hello, how are you both?
Wonderful. Did you just bite the head off a live bat?
Not yet.
Okay.
That is actually, it's funny, I just got done warning my son that we're going to have monkey brain for dinner when he gets home from soccer practice, so perhaps that will be my threat of the appetizer.
Oh, I like that. Very nice.
I'm here watching ESPN.com's journalism efforts go down really hard. The most interesting thing I've learned is that Bryson DeChambeau, who as no one remembers because this weekend was full of all the sports, won the U.S. Open. Now, this guy was called the scientist, the mad scientist, whatever, for years, even as he was a skinny little guy. Like, oh, what is he doing? He has all his clubs the same size. And they're talking about, like, you know, what did he figure out? Well, what he figured out is that if he bulks up 35 pounds and hits things way farther than everybody else, that he has a chance of winning. Like, I feel like that's, I guess it's science, but it doesn't seem like sophisticated science to me.
Well, no,
it
no.
It's like the most plainly obvious. I mean, every time I play Tiger Woods 2004 on my outdated PS2 system, I usually just try to swing for the fences. That doesn't seem like, anyway.
But I like this. It's simple. It's elegant in its simplicity. I'm just going to swing right out of my shoes, hit it as far as I can, and yeah, my second shot will be in the rough, but it's only going to be 60 yards away.
Well, but this is America in 2020. It's like, yeah, no, I'm really into science. I'm just going to try to hit it really hard. I don't know. I guess that's science, but it's okay. All right. Well, okay.
Well, it's 2020 science.
Oh, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is the same science, by the way, and I'll actually move on to wine in a second, that's telling me, again, and so people know I'm playing fantasy football, as I always do, aiming for the great middle, which I'm achieving with remarkable capacity. This is telling me that the under-radar fantasy standout for the Chargers is Austin Ekeler. I'm like, really? That's your under-the-radar pick there. Cool.
Well.
Good. I'm glad I'm getting my information from you folks.
But now not drafting Saquon Barkley looks a whole lot smarter.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I have not only have I avoided the mysterious magical injury bug, but I actually have also tried to like pick up people who are injured early that are going to try to come back. So they're like kind of deep on my bench.
Ooh.
But yeah, you know what? And it's funny. Everybody bemoans, you know, the Barkley thing. I'm like, you know what? The Giants weren't going to win. I mean, have you seen their offensive line? The guy got 6 yards the first game. Well, you know, so let him rest until we can draft some other people.
There we go.
But my goodness. So anyway, moving on to why I'm here in the first place. We're finishing up California, kind of, you know. Talking about, and so the song that I had you play was another reference to the other side. I always pick an other side song for this segment, and of course I had to go with Ozzy this time because, you know, who knows if he's even going to be. The way 2020 is going, I expect Ozzy's probably next, let's be honest.
Ooh.
But what I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of, this actually came up earlier today for me in a professional capacity and tasting some new wines. I kind of wanted to talk about the other side of California. California is really, really sort of reversing course in a really kind of fun way. We talked about and have talked about in years past how California kind of came to be famous back in 1976. But the reason it became famous back in 1976 is because a lot of European-minded folks, as well as folks with enough capital to actually make the thing happen in the first place, converged in places like Napa Valley, Alexander Valley, Sonoma, and they said, okay, we have something that's sort of a proven commodity over in Europe. Can we actually make this thing work in California? And obviously, as we've talked about, the terroirs in California are so varied but so good that really from the very base of California and into Baja, all the way north, and then obviously into Oregon, which is currently still on fire but lessening, the opportunities to do that very thing were pretty obvious. But what we were talking about in the past week is that you could, you know, sort of do the things that California is famous for, your Cab, your Chard, Merlot, and those are all fabulous. But what we're really starting to see now and what I kind of want to talk about is the other face. The other face, I'm going to, in a weird way, include the most obvious of California and American grapes, which is Zinfandel, because what I'm really starting to see is that we're going from a society that really sort of made Zinfandel into the same sort of product that Merlot was made into, that Chardonnay was made into. Zinfandel, especially in this blend form, people sort of took it and made it into the easiest possible wine. And there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose. I mean, Zinfandel lends itself to really big, bombastic fruit flavors and fairly high alcohol levels, and that's fun. But what you're really starting to see now, at least I'm starting to see, is a return to lower alcohol levels. Zinfandel's made in a way that you would perhaps make them, this is going to sound strange, in a way that you'd make them probably in the central part of Italy, where you see things like Sangiovese, or the northern part where you see things like Nebbiolo or Barbera, as opposed to the southern part where you find Primitivo, which is, of course, as we've talked about, the same thing as Zinfandel. But Primitivo can still be kind of a very fruit-forward and juicy, chewy kind of thing, whereas a lot of the Zins you're starting to see now, especially from smaller growers, younger growers, you know, the new generation of growers, is a lower alcohol, medium-bodied, more highly acidic version of this grape. And furthermore, speaking of Tuscany, I mean, you're starting to see wines that imitate Super Tuscans. You're starting to see Sangiovese itself actually grown in a lot of places, including, for instance, the Alexander Valley that I was just talking about. Of course, Alexander Valley, you know, the Chard that won the Judgment of Paris was grown in the Alexander Valley. And of course, Cabs do very, very well there. But you are seeing a significant enough pocket of Sangiovese being grown there. And in, again, being made in a very European style. And in fact, Alexander Valley Vineyards makes a rosé of Sangiovese, which in varying vintages holds some interest and sometimes is less of a success. But it's really kind of cool seeing these people experimenting with that. The other side is the Rhone Rangers, and we've talked about them before. These are folks who have seen California's terroir as an opportunity to grow the grapes that are famous in the Rhone Valley, right? So we're talking Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, which is known as Mataro in California, Carignan, and some lesser-known grapes like Sasso, of course, the white grapes Viognier, Marsan, Roussan. So it's very, very intriguing, and to be a Rhone Ranger, you have to have 75% of your winery's total product be dedicated to a Rhone varietal. So you're seeing some really interesting stuff: Italian grapes, esoteric French grapes, grapes from all over, Austrian grapes that people are just playing around with, because essentially there's not a lot of rules. Yes, there's delimited zones, which, again, the AVAs, the American Viticultural Areas, but the rules really aren't there like they are in Europe, so you're really seeing a lot of people having some fun. I'm sure I'm running out of time. Terry, what is my time, sir?
I have about 3 minutes left.
Oh, okay, goodness. More time than I had. Thought I had. Very good. Well, then, I guess what I wanted to say is that, furthering that, I think the reason that you're seeing these sort of things is because, A, I mean, I think California as sort of a product manufacturing base kind of got played out. I think it's, I hate the, you know, the term hippie, but you know, it's sort of like when even things like Whole Foods kind of got played out, and I acknowledge that's a Texan company because I used to work for it. But I mean, it's sort of like we got pure and then faux pure, but a lot of people that were raised thinking that that faux pure was really born out of a pure ethos. Kind of got out of it and have gone back to the land. So the wines that I've been seeing as a merchant lately that are coming out of California are all made by people. It's almost like if anybody's really paying attention to like the main restaurant scene, or I guess any restaurant scene, the people that are behind the best restaurants are these young, hungry people that kind of came up through the standardized teaching, but then said, okay, I'm going to strike out in a weird way. It's almost like Erin French, you know, with obviously, you know, right now she's down doing her thing in Lost Kitchen. But before that, Lost Kitchen had several iterations, including an Airstream trailer, right? So, like, what you're really seeing is a throwback to these people who would literally, in fact, drive an Airstream trailer, find a vineyard, buy the vineyard with, the little money that they had, live in and amongst the vines, raise their children in and amongst the vines, and are creating, things that might not really be for everybody. That's sort of the weirdest thing that I was actually, the other thing I was dwelling on today, is that people always come back to, and say, oh my God, I went to these really small wineries and I had these wonderful wines that really enraptured me. I'm like, really? Because the sort of wines that tend to enrapture people these days aren't necessarily made that way. They're kind of made by bigger companies. The stuff that I'm seeing now is like natural wine, cloudy wine, low alcohol, high acidic, things that are sort of emulating crazy European stuff, crazy stuff that you see from Chile as well, and Argentina. So if you find yourself interested in these kind of wines, do come in, because we're starting to bring them in. I hesitate sometimes because I almost think like, oh my gosh, who am I going to sell these things to? Because I think they're almost only made for, you know, like one or two people, including myself. But if you're into kind of, you know, seeing what the new California has to offer, do come in, because we're trying to bring in things that are, and not everything is gold. That's the other problem, is like a lot of the natural wines and kind of cool stuff is kind of like, okay, it was a nice effort, but give it a couple more years. So I did want to kind of point that out. So I'm sure I'm out of time. So I will talk to you all next week. And if you want to come to the store, wear a mask and stay healthy and rock and roll.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, with Message in the Bottle here on Downtown.